sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Starting in September, 9/11 Wake Up Call will be moving to a new time slot. The new time will be Wednesdays at noon. To make the transition a smooth one, 9/11 Wake Up Call will air on both the new time slot of Wednesdays at noon and the old time slot of Thursdays at 12:30 for the entire month of August. Then, beginning in September, 9/11 Wake Up Call will be in the new time slot only of Wednesdays at noon. Today you're going to hear the fourth and final part of a speech by Michael Rupert, who wrote the book Crossing the Rubicon, which came out in 2004. And that will be followed by some events announcements. So let's begin with the final part of the speech by Michael Rupert called The CIA, Drugs, Wall Street, and the 9/11 Connection.
Also, one of the big, major holes of September the 11th is the issue of fighter aircraft. What is available now to researchers is the FAA transcripts of exactly when it was known that the individual aircraft were hijacked versus when was the Air Force notified versus what was the Air Force's response. And we have a period of time of 50 minutes when it was known that four aircraft had been hijacked. Two had already crashed into the World Trade Center, so there's not much doubt about what's happening with the other two, when no fighter aircraft are scrambled to intercept. Now, the first shocking slap-in-your-face truth about this is the fact that whenever there's a hijacking, or even when an aircraft loses radio contact, goes off course suddenly, refuses to respond to a transponder request from the tower. That's where the pilot turns a little knob on the cockpit dashboard to a set frequency, pushes the button that lights the plane up on the radar screen. When those are not done, fighters are automatically scrambled. How do I know that? Well, everybody should remember Payne Stewart, world famous golfer, hops in a chartered Learjet in Florida in 1999. They get up to, 30,000-35,000 feet. They have explosive decompression. Everybody on the plane is killed. So much for the theory about that friendly mass dropping down in your airliner, by the way. The plane goes off course, and there were U.S. Air Force fighter jets flying beside it in less than an hour. They were notified within minutes, and that was automatic. That did not require presidential approval. It was a Golf magazine, I believe it was, had showed that it was like, 30, 40 minutes before the planes got there. But they were notified immediately. Well, if we look at the FAA logs on September the 11th, we see gaps of 10, 15 minutes before anybody's bothering to tell the Air Force that we have hijackings, and this is after two planes have hit the World Trade Center. It gets worse. It gets much worse because two fighters we know were scrambled early on from Otis Air Force Base in Massachusetts. Well, that's very strange, number one, because we know that there were fighters available in Atlantic City. Much, much closer that could have been sent. Air National Guard, hot fighters. Scramble-ready fighters from much closer. But they send these two F-15 Eagles from Otis Air Force Base, and golly gee, they get to the World Trade Center just a few minutes too late. I think one of them was actually filmed in some of the footage of the second plane hitting the tower. But if you look at the logs, when the second plane has hit the tower, it's already known that the other two planes have been hijacked. They're both off course. They've both been hijacked. The FAA knows you've got two more hijackings in progress. And you've got two now airborne fighters over Manhattan with a combat radius of 1,500 miles, fully armed, in the air, that can be on the other hijacked airplanes in minutes. And what happens? They're recalled to Otis Air Force Base. Why? Government won't tell you that. Then the government says, well, when we knew that 77 had been hijacked and 93, had made its turn and was coming back, we didn't have any fighters at Andrews Air Force Base. That's a total out-and-out lie. Several researchers have archived the Andrews Air Force Base website pre-9/11, which has quotes. "We maintain scramble-ready fighters at the highest possible state of readiness." Around the country, most of the domestic air response is handled by the Air National Guard. And that doesn't mean that these guys are working at their day job. They have to get a call drive into work. Because Air National Guard units always maintain a ready reserve component. What's more importantly is that regular Air Force pilots rotate into National Guard units as a means of training the National Guard pilots and interfacing with them, but also to maintain the ready response capacity. Now, Andrews Air Force Base, right outside Washington, is the home of Air Force One. Do you think they don't keep any fighters there? Give me a break. I used to live outside of Andrews Air Force Base for a short time in 94, 95 when I was living in Washington. You'd see the fighters taking off all day, every day. Their website says that one of the Air National Guard squadrons had the immediate responsibility for ready response air defense protection of Washington, D.C. Are you going to tell me those fighters aren't ready? There's no fighters there, but no. What does Dick Cheney tell us? What does General Myers tell us on September the 11th? General Myers is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. The only fighters we had available were available in Langley Air Force Base, some 130 miles south. Then you do the math and it gets even worse. From the time that they were notified until the time that they arrived at the Pentagon and the time that they took off, which is available, it shows that they flew from Langley Air Force Base to the Pentagon to get the last plane at about 530 miles an hour. They flew at subsonic speeds, less than a third of what they were capable of. Do you really think that Air Force pilots are going to fly at subsonic speeds to try and protect the White House? These are the simple tests of logic which pull 9/11 apart. There are so many more. But if I haven't got you now, you know what? I'm not going to get you. There's nothing I can say to you. If what I've told you now hasn't dislodged your brain from wrapping around your belief in Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, and the Easter Bunny, even as your pension fund is disappearing and your Social Security is gone, as criminal acts are being committed left and right. And by the way, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. My official position is that the worst belief any American could have is, gee, we can solve all of this problem if we throw out George W. and elect Hillary. Give me a break. Okay? There is systemic evil corruption. It is above the level of political parties. There's only a few brave heroes in this country that are actually speaking out. And here I refer to Cynthia McKinney of Georgia, who spoke out and asked for investigations and asked some very logical questions. I'm referring to Congressman Ron Paul of Texas, a true champion of monetary reform. He's a Republican. She's a Democrat. Barbara Lee of Northern California was the sole member of the House to vote against the War Powers Resolution. And here, as we're on the brink of a very ungodly, ill-timed, ill-conceived, stupid invasion of Iraq, which I am certain will happen in the fall, September, October, very few heroes out here, so you have to be careful. This is not about simple solutions. This is about assuming responsibility, folks. That's what it's really about. For 38 years, we've had a film showing that John Kennedy was shot from the front. What have we done about it? What have you done about it? We have made bargains with the devil over and over again, and we don't even begin to think about what it's cost us in terms of our civil liberties. And now we have to look at the Patriot Act. Now we have to look at what has happened to our civil liberties and what is going to happen to our civil liberties post 9/11. As the world is changing around us, don't ask about the New World Order when it's going to happen. It's here. It's happening right in front of your very eyes. You know, there's an old saying about how you cook a frog. You can't throw a frog into a pot of boiling water because he'll jump right out. So what you do is you throw the frog into some tepid water and he'll sit there and you turn it up a degree at a time and the frog will just sit there and let himself be cooked because he won't know what's happening. And that's exactly what's happening to you right now. Although I dare say if you've just watched your pension plan, your 401k disappear, well then by golly, maybe you're starting to see that the water's being turned up. But let's just look at some of the things that have happened since the Patriot Act was passed. And some of the things that have happened now is that any federal law enforcement agency may enter your home or business when you're not there. Collect evidence, not tell you about it, and then use that evidence to convict you of a crime. That nullifies the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. And says the ACLU, it doesn't even have to be a terrorism investigation, just a criminal investigation. That's from Section 213 of the Patriot Act. It's called the sneak and peek provision. Any federal law enforcement agency may, if they suspect that you are committing a crime, monitor all of your internet traffic and read your emails. Forget about it. You know, if you have a digital cell phone, that using GPS and a program called Carnivore, they can locate you to within 3 meters anywhere on the planet just through your digital cell phone. You have no right to any expectation of privacy using any email communication or any cell phone communication, so forget about it. No warrant is required. That violates the Fourth and Fifth Amendments, and we have a story on Carnivore. The FBI or any other federal law enforcement agency, according to Title II, Section 501 of the Patriot Act, may come to your business and seize any of your business records. And they can arrest you, get this, if you tell anybody they were there. There goes your freedom of speech. That's the First Amendment. The CIA can now operate inside the U.S. and spy on American citizens. That has been a prohibition that was sacrosanct since the National Security Act was passed in 1947. But as directed on November 13th by Dear Mr. Ashcroft, it's permitted to share intelligence files with local law enforcement agencies and vice versa. Now, this is from Titles 2 and 9 of the Patriot Act, but let me tell you why that's so important. As I know, I've been there. I was a cop. I've written search warrants. I've done investigations. And there's a thing called the exclusionary rule. It says that you cannot introduce into evidence anything that's obtained outside the Constitution or by illegal means. Well, we all know that the FBI and the CIA and all those guys have been wiretapping and bugging people for decades. None of that from the CIA or the FBI was ever admissible in a court of law because it was obtained illegally. Now, thanks to the Patriot Act and John Ashcroft, the FBI and the CIA can go to the LAPD, Chicago PD, NYPD, and they can say, hey, we have all this intelligence information. Dump the tapes on the guys. That then gets written up in the police report as a probable cause statement, which is just what led you to start an investigation. LAPD, for example, can receive all this wiretap. We received intelligence from the FBI or the CIA that blah, 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 blah. We went out to this place and found A, B, and C, which they already knew was going to be there, and they find that legally, then all of what they got from the FBI and the CIA now becomes admissible. There goes the exclusionary rule to the Constitution. There is no more exclusionary rule, period. Also, it works the other way now, that local law enforcement can share not only with the CIA, but with foreign intelligence services, as directed, Section 203. So now we're getting a global intelligence force. Welcome to the brave new world. So is this darkness beginning to sink over your consciousness yet about some of what we're looking at? We now have a new definition of domestic terrorism. Acts which appear to be intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population or to influence the policy of a government by intimidation or coercion. So under this definition of domestic terrorist, you could be ruled a terrorist in staging a protest for the fact that $4.3 trillion of your money has been stolen, or there's no Social Security, or that the government is breaking laws left and right, and you block a driveway of a federal building. You could be ruled a domestic terrorist, according to the act. There are other acts which have taken place by the Bush administration outside of the Patriot Act that are very scary. One is that John Ashcroft had unilaterally decided that he was going to wiretap attorney-client conversation in terrorist cases. But that's the slippery slope. That is one of the most fundamental rights in the Fifth and the Sixth Amendments to the Constitution, the right against self-incrimination, the right to due process, where you can have conversations between attorney, client, husband, wife, priest, confessor, doctor, patient are supposed to be protected. No, they're going to wiretap. But then we had the military tribunals that could be conducted in secret. The person on trial could not even see the evidence against them, and they could be executed, even if a third of the members of the tribunal disagreed in the verdict with the defendant, not having seen the evidence, confronted witnesses, or even known what was used to convict him. How insane does it have to get? Now, people who are really wishful will say that there's a sunset clause in the Patriot Act that says it goes away after 4 years. And here's what the sunset clause actually says. It says that these provisions shall cease to have any effect as of some date in January 2005, quote, except in cases where the investigation was begun prior to that date. So there is no sunset clause because all the government has to do is to say that they started the investigation before January of 2005 and they can run it as long as they need to. And that doesn't count the financial and money laundering aspects. money laundering. That's a joke. The financial loss of liberty that has occurred as a result of the Patriot Act. Title III of the Patriot Act is all about financial restraints. The Patriot Act, in terms of drastic new requirements for foreign banks that do business in the U.S., you know, has really closed a lot of those loopholes, and you can bet they're going to be used very, very selectively. Correspondent banks outside of the U.S. now must respond to subpoenas within a very short period of time. I think it's 5 working days to respond to disclose beneficial ownership. They have to disclose pass-through accounts. They have to really become transparent in cases where there are jurisdictional factors as decided by the Secretary of the Treasury in collaboration or collusion, I guess, with other government officials and agencies, evidence that organized criminal groups, international terrorists have transacted business in that jurisdiction. That would apply to most of the Caribbean. The extent to which the jurisdiction or financial institutions operating in that jurisdiction offer bank secrecy or special tax or regulatory advantages. You know, that's the Caymans, Barbados, all of them. The substance and quality of the administration, blah, blah, blah. These are the means by which the Secretary, as they call it, or the FBI or FinCEN, can designate certain areas as being, you have to tell us exactly how much money is moving where whenever we want you to tell it to us. But I think we know that that technology already exists. Again, what this does is open the door for prosecutions and or confiscation and or seizure. And when you combine that with what's happening to the U.S. economy, it's a very scary picture. Basically, it is limiting the right of people to move, possess, control, or use that fundamental thing which guarantees freedom, which is their own hard-earned money. The Patriot Act is extremely strict on that. And of course, we all know that there's an element of selective enforcement that's applied to all of us. It's supposed to be directed toward terrorists, but Ron Paul looked at this. And one of the comments he made after reading the whole Patriot Act was, I think it's time for a revolution. Our forefathers revolted against much milder repression. And I had the pleasure of interviewing Ron Paul. He's in a videotape, which I produced, called The Truth and Lies of 9/11. It's a 2.5-hour tape. They also include foreign corruption offenses now as money laundering crimes. But it's like Ron Paul said, you look at the financial aspects, and it's a great hamper to the free movement of money and currency, and it is something which is probably more likely to be turned loose on the American people than it is on foreign terrorists. And I think we're going to see that as the other economic factors start to come together. Now, before we shut down, I think there's one great context that we have to put this into to complete the map. We haven't touched on the fact that as many as 15 world-class microbiologists have died under very mysterious circumstances since September the 11th. Most have been connected to DNA sequencing and research on diseases. We have draconian new health legislation in the form of the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, or MEPA, as it's called in some states. You can find that on the website. It's now passed in 11 states. That will make it a felony to refuse a state-ordered vaccination. That will make it a felony to refuse a state-ordered medical procedure. That allows government to confiscate any personal property at any time in a declared health emergency without any recourse of any kind, without any due process. And we see the bioterror threat looming very large when it's really doubtful. I mean, there's great new evidence that Iraq doesn't have terror weapons, that the U.S. CIA is one of the only people who can make them. To really put the cap on this great exercise we've done in totally depressing your mood, guess what, folks? We are running out of oil. The world is running out of oil. World oil production will peak right about now, and it's on a bell curve, and it will never again go up. Oil is a finite supply. As oil is running out, the population is increasing, and the demand is increasing, and the economies are tied irrevocably to oil. Oil is 95% of all plastics. Look around your house. Look at everything that's within your arm's reach that's made of plastic. Look at the supermarket. Look at the chair maybe you're sitting in, your computer. Oil and gas are also fertilizers and pesticides. All fertilizers come from ammonia, and all ammonia comes from natural gas. 95% of all pesticides are petroleum-based. It is fertilizers and pesticides that enable 1 acre of land that produces 30 bushels of corn to produce 135 bushels of corn. We have already passed the peak of per capita hydrocarbon production on the planet, meaning every day that we live now, there is less hydrocarbons available on the planet per person, and it is going to continue that way. And when Dick Cheney says we're going to have a sequential war that will not end in our lifetime, that goes from Central Asia to Iraq to Colombia, where there's oil and drug money, you are witnessing a war to control the last remaining oil reserves on the planet as the wealth of the planet is being systematically moved into the hands of a totally ruthless New World Order. And I don't know how you call him. I don't know who Mr. Big is. My question in always in every case is show me how the money works. And that's why post 9/11, in spite of some very serious efforts to shut us down, hackings of our website, burglaries of our office, we've actually had microwave weapons trained on our office staff, including me. I've had my laptop stolen out of my hotel room in Sydney, Australia. We are still here, we're still strong, and we're still feeding you information as we build this map. Because nothing will so much help us to survive, those of us who are not in denial, as having a good read on how the world works and what's being done to us. And the way to stop all of this is to identify it and to disrupt whatever timetable is being played out to implement a world that somebody has designed. But I'll guarantee you one thing. You didn't have a role in saying how it was going to look, and neither did I. And until that happens, I think my task is very clear, and I think yours is too.
And that concludes the four-part speech by Michael Rupert called The CIA, Drugs, Wall Street, and the 9/11 Connection. I originally aired this speech on previous shows in the summer of 2008 and felt that it was worthy of a rebroadcast. To learn more about Michael Rupert, you can go to his website at fromthewilderness.com. He also has a newer book and movie out, both called Collapse, and that website is collapsenet.com. The 9/11 Truth Movement continues to grow and gather strength. And because so many prominent people are questioning the official story of 9/11, it's not surprising that there are lots of activities going on this 10th anniversary to expose the truth of that tragic day. Since 9/11 is the reason for our wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, and it's also the pretext for the Constitution-destroying Patriot Act, torture, secret renditions, an executive power grab, and the list goes on, I think it's really important to know what really happened that day. There are events going on in San Francisco, Seattle, New York City, Toronto, Boston, and Hartford, to just name a few, and there are also some other major and long-term projects going on. There's an amazing four-day event going on in Toronto on the weekend of 9/11 called the Toronto Hearings, which will include testimony from many of the major researchers into 9/11, such as David Ray Griffin, Richard Gage, Kevin Ryan, Graham McQueen, and many others. This is an amazing event and will document all of the latest research in one place. You'll be able to view it streaming live when it's actually happening, so I encourage you to check their website at www.torontohearings.org. There's also an event going on in San Francisco called 9/11, Reclaiming the Truth, Reclaiming the Future, and they'll be showing five 9/11 movies that day. There will also be an event going on that day in Connecticut at the University of Hartford in the Auerbach Auditorium. On September 10th, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., where we'll be showing six movies on 9/11. It's free and open to the public, so please be sure to check that out. And here are some of the movies that we'll be showing at the movie marathon on September 10th. They'll be In Their Own Words by the victims' family members. They'll be expressing their concerns and desire for the truth. Then we'll also be showing 9/11, An American Coup. And then we have The Great Conspiracy, produced in part by Barry Zwicker. Then we'll be showing Ludicrous Diversion, which is about the 7/7 bombings in London. And it looks an awful lot like they don't have the truth there either, and that there's a cover-up going on. So come and learn all about that similarity there to 9/11. And then we'll be showing the movie Zero, which is the great Italian movie about 9/11 with actor Dario Fo. And the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, which at last count was up to 1,538 architects and engineers demanding a new investigation into 9/11, they have put out a new film called 9/11, Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. And that will be our final movie of the day on September 10th at our movie marathon. We thought that would be a great way to end the movie marathon. Architects and Engineers is also really busy, and they also are releasing a book called 9/11, The Simple Facts, Why the Official Story Can't Possibly Be True. And we'll have copies of those available at our movie marathon event. They also are working with the Remember Building 7 campaign and have put out a documentary there called Architects and Engineers Solving the Mystery of World Trade Center 7. So there's a lot going on there. They also have other events going on around the country starting on September 8th at county courthouses across the country. So to learn more about them, you can go to their website, which is ae911truth.org. There's also an event going on in Montreal on September 8th with former Georgia Congresswoman and Green Party presidential candidate Cynthia McKinney, along with Michel Trusadovsky, a Canadian professor and researcher, and also former senator and presidential candidate Mike Gravel. And speaking of former senator and presidential candidate Mike Gravel, last year he started a ballot initiative process in several states throughout the U.S. to try to get a new investigation into 9/11 on the ballot in those states, including California, Oregon, and our neighbor, Massachusetts. The Massachusetts Ballot Initiative will kick off on September 11th this year with a speech by Mike Gravel at Logan Airport. More on that on a future broadcast. And apparently Connecticut doesn't have a ballot initiative process, so our state can't do anything like that. To mark the 10th anniversary of 9/11, there's also an event going on in New York City, aside from the official event, which won't allow the first responders to attend, claiming they don't have room for them. Tune in next week to hear more about the New York City 9/11 Truth event. And if you'd like more information about our movie marathon at the University of Hartford, it will soon be posted at WWUH's website, which is wwuh.org. So as you can see, there are a lot of great events going on to support the quest for 9/11 truth. The movement continues to grow and attract highly intelligent, credible, concerned citizens who want the truth about what happened on that tragic day 10 years ago. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.